Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you are in time and space. Chuck Jines, documenting the human experience. Just one guy in search of the true, the good, and the beautiful. I hope you're having a great day today. And yesterday there were some verdicts in some of the trials concerning January 6th and the Oath Keepers, Stuart Rhodes, and four other people. Two of the people were found guilty of seditious conspiracy as well as obstruction, and three others were found not guilty of seditious conspiracy, but were found guilty of obstruction. There are literally hundreds of people set for trial, and seditious conspiracy is kind of an interesting charge and really difficult to get a conviction on. So this is probably going to change some of the pleadings, I would guess, on some of these other people that are set to stand trial. So, you know, here we see more and more of the boots of the insurrection on January 6th paying heavy prices. There's a maximum 20-year jail sentence along with the seditious conspiracy. So it's very serious. It's very sad. Like I said, we're seeing a lot of the boots. There was someone last week that was also convicted and sentenced to, I believe, 3 years in prison. So all of these a lot of these people that were the boots on the ground are being held accountable for their actions. And it seems like justice is dragging its feet when it comes to the suits. Looks like the boots are paying the heavy price. And, you know, Trump and John Eastman, these people need to be held account, and it would be nice to see that that happens. Hello, Sean. How are you doing? Gregory, good to see you guys today. Hope you're having an awesome day. Who are the Oath Keepers? The Oath Keepers are a group that formed some time ago. Actually, they came to my rescue in Ferguson, Missouri, back when the Mike Brown fiasco was going on. The Oath Keepers are a group, kind of a paramilitary group or a militia, so to speak, of people who got together to keep their oath. A lot of these people are former military. Back when John McCain and Sarah Palin were still running, they provided some of the security. They were at the RNC convention in 2016 when I was there as well, the Oath Keepers, and kind of providing backup security for law enforcement. And so they're just that's the kind of group that they are. But they were involved with a coup attempt on January 6th. And a lot of those people are starting to pay the price for that. These were the people, you know, there's a mixed bag of people that came there on January 6th. There's probably a lot of people that had no idea that there was intention to have a riot on the Capitol like that. But these guys, that's totally what their intention and their plan was. And they're going to appeal, of course, and sentencing will probably take a month or two before we see what kind of sentence is handed down. There's a little bit of old-fashioned karma going around and a little old-fashioned justice going down, you know. It ain't really hard to understand. If you want to dance, you have to pay the band. And that is exactly what is happening. Well, what's sad about this is that so many of these people were motivated to do this and were called to the Capitol that day by Donald Trump. And my God, I can't believe I'm drawing a blank on what's his name, the guy that had the war room. Trump's political campaign manager in his first run. Ugh, my mind sometimes with these names. But anyway, they called these people there on January 6th and set them loose, and based on a lie of a stolen election, which has done just incredible damage to and more erosion to the social trust that is already in peril in our country. And social trust is such a important, I don't think people really understand how important social trust is. Social trust between you and I, individual people, and social trust in our institutions. Our republic, our form of democracy, a democratic republic, cannot function without high levels of social trust in one another and also in our institutions. And it's very sad to see this happen. And the lie, Steve Bannon, that's his name. Steve Bannon, Eastman, and Trump hopefully are now, whether they're going to be able to bring seditious conspiracy charges, I don't know. It's rather complicated. I would say most definitely obstruction, incitement. There are various things that Trump and these guys were involved with here, and it's very sad. Very well said, Chuck. Good morning. Good morning to you, Joe. How you doing, man? How are you doing today? Yeah, we need social trust, and Trump has done incredible damage based on this election lie mythology that motivated and still motivates a lot of these people. And it's sad to see, you know, what's been going on in Arizona here is just an aftermath of this assault on the social trust in our institutions. I hope to see the Steve Bannon, John Eastman, and Trump pay the price for what they've done. They've ruined people's lives. I was talking about, you know, Rudy Giuliani, with some of the just reckless accusations that he has made. There was the two black ladies that were poll workers and have been poll workers for many, many years, who handed a piece of candy. And Rudy Giuliani, based on a little video clip, recklessly posited that the one lady had handed a hard drive to the other lady. And then, of course, through telepathy or somehow, Giuliani knows that on that hard drive is a bunch of fake ballots that they, so these, and the investigation was that it was a piece of candy. There was nothing there. But these poor ladies had to flee their home. They had to move because of the cult followers, the mob that follows Trump were let loose on these poor people. There's many stories like this. It's hurt a lot of people, and I do hope that they are held account for that. Plus the damage that they've done to our republic and our social trust. Steve, how you doing, man? Yes, good morning. Good morning. Super chat is open if you guys want to kick in a couple of bucks there. Help buy me some coffee if you appreciate my efforts and the things that I put out to talk about. So we will see what happens. There's, you know, I would now did Trump meet with these people? I don't know. It looks like what's the other guy's name? The one that Trump pardoned. It looks like they were meeting, and definitely Steve Bannon knew something was going to go down on January 6th. When I was watching, this was before his war room was kicked off of YouTube. I was watching every day, and he was, you know, wait till you see what's going to happen on January 6th. It's not going to go down like you think it's going to go down. It is going to be absolutely wild. If you've ever wanted to be part of a revolution, this is your moment. And here I'm thinking, what in the hell is going to happen on January 6th? Well, there was the Stop the Steal, an attempt to obstruct the peaceful transfer of power. So obviously Steve Bannon had prior knowledge, you know, obviously, that something was going to go down. If he was indeed in contact with these groups, the Oath Keepers, the Proud Boys, Three Percenters, there were some other groups. If there can be shown a connection where they were connected, then he's part of this seditious conspiracy as well. You know, difficult to prove seditious conspiracy. Obstruction's a lot easier. Trump can never be allowed to hold the reign of power again. And it's really sad, and it's very disappointing. I wanted Trump to win a second term. When this went down, though, I had to place my loyalties to my republic above the cult of personality of Donald Trump. A lot of people are not able to differentiate those two things, and their loyalties are not to our republic. They are not patriots. They are cult worshipers and followers of Trump. And it's really amazing to watch this transpire. We've talked about this a great deal. We went over, I've removed a lot of the videos, but I've done a lot of the commentaries after all of the January 6th hearings. And you know how I came to watch the January 6th hearings? I wasn't watching them, but there was such a loud noise over on the right, Dan Bongino and Newsmax and all of these people saying, oh, no need to watch that. That's nothing but a political theater. It's just a, you know, Stalin show trials. There's nothing to see here. You'll be more informed and enlightened unless you know. No need to see. And I thought, thou dost protest too much. So I thought I started on the third or the fourth hearing. I watched it and I was just absolutely blown away. And I went back and watched the other ones and watched all of them and was just horrified. Really sad that so many people did not watch them. They'll go watch Dinesh's 2000 Mules, nothing else, and, you know, draw really wacky conclusions off of that very terrible documentary movie. But, you know, and that's where we are today. So that's who the Oath Keepers are. Like I said, they actually protected me. I was attacked by the racist hate group Black Lives Matter. They tried to attack me. One person brandished a gun. I actually got a whole video on that. The Proud Boys, Joe Biggs. I've actually worked with Joe Biggs in Lake County, Illinois, years ago. We worked to, and I was a little pissed at Joe Biggs. He gave me no credit. I was already on the scene there. It was they thought a police officer was murdered, but it turned out that he had committed suicide because he was involved with all kinds of embezzlement from the police department that he was about to get caught on. At this time, Joe Biggs was working for Alex Jones. And I spent 2 days with Joe Biggs. And when he posted his story into the apps, and I thought, wow, that was kind of shitty. Never mentioned any of my contributions. But anyway, he, I believe, is also going to be on trial, but he's a member of the Proud Boys, Joe Biggs. All of these groups were working together. Let me see here. Did the iconic guy carrying the interior on his back associated with any of the groups? He seems, I don't know what you're talking. Hold on, let me get my glasses. I might be reading that wrong. By the spirits. Did the iconic guy carrying the interior? If you could maybe spell that out a little bit clearer language, I don't even know what you're talking about. So if you could, I mean, I'm more than willing to address your question there, but did isn't a good way to start a sentence. The speaker's lectern. You're going to have to unpack that. I'm not a mind reader. You have to, you know, take your time, type it out. You're allowed a lot of characters here. And so did the iconic guy carrying the interior on his back associated with any of the groups? I don't even know who the hell you're talking about. So if you can unpack that a little bit, I'd be glad to address your question, but it has to be a little bit clearer. Again, take your time, type it out. There's no hurry. We'll be here for at least an hour. Yeah, the speaker's lectern. Ha ha, yeah, that was badly worded. Yes, it was. If you could clarify it, then I could possibly answer your question. But so 5 people convicted, 2 of them for seditious conspiracy, which is going to, you know, that's an old Civil War law, if I remember correctly. And this, like I said, you got all of these people who are waiting to stand trial for these various crimes. And I would imagine a lot of their attorneys are saying, oh, let's not plea bargain. They're not going to be able to get a seditious conspiracy charge. And so that might change some of their tunes on some of these other people. Some of them may now want to maybe cooperate with prosecutors and may have some information that would show Roger Stone. That's his name. The Queen's English. Yeah. Roger Stone. That's the other guy that was. We know he was in contact with the Proud Boys in the war room at the hotel they had there. Okay, let's try this again. There was a guy photographed carrying the speaker's lectern. Oh, yeah, he stole it or something like that. on his back on January 6th. The photo went around the world. He seemed just like that guy was convicted. Was it the speaker? I don't know what he stole something. He was convicted last week. I'm not sure of what all the charges were, but he was sentenced to 3 years in prison. It was not for seditious conspiracy. It might have been for obstruction or trespass. I think it was trespassing and some theft charges and things like that. But he got sentenced to 3 years just last week. If that's the same individual that we're talking about here. But more serious than stealing the podium. You know, for the first time in American history, an actual obstruction to the peaceful transfer of power based on an absolute irrefutable lie perpetrated by John Eastman, Donald Trump, and Steve Bannon. And these guys need to be held accountable. And they, we know they know it's a lie, as we've talked about multiple times here. There's an audio recording of Steve Bannon 3 days prior to the election, speaking with some people from China about how their plan was to use the red wave phenomenon, right? They know that early in the election, it looks like Republicans win because they tend to vote on election day, not so much through mail-in ballots. And they don't start, a lot of states, their procedure is they don't start counting the mail-in ballots till after all of the that day votes have been counted. So it looks like the Republicans are winning earlier in the evening. And then later when they count the ballots, it can change because the mail-ins tend to be more towards Democrats. Steve Bannon was well aware of that, and he explicitly expressed that Trump was going to use this very natural and phenomenon as a tool to lie and deceive that the election was stolen. So really, really, really sad stuff that happened here. Did they get what they deserved, or was it heavy-handed? No, I don't know what their sentencing is going to be. They are definitely guilty of seditious conspiracy, which is an attempt to overthrow the government. It's not a minor charge. It's more severe than obstruction. And yeah, they are guilty of that. They sure are, and that carries up to a 20-year sentence. Should they get the max? I don't know. Probably not. It all depends on, you know, prior convictions and charges and all kinds of things like that that go into the sentencing process. But I'm totally content with the unanimous guilty verdict. And of course, in the trial like this, it's not preponderance of the evidence. It's beyond reasonable doubt, which is the highest legal standard. So they're guilty of that. And we will see what the sentencing is. So heavy handedness. No, I don't. So we don't know what they're getting yet. So I can't answer. You know, did they get what they deserve, or was it heavy handed? They haven't been sentenced yet. So we don't know what their sentencing is going to be. But the boots, the normal people, are going to jail while Trump has martinis at Mar-a-Lago. And Steve Bannon's going to jail because he thumbed his nose at the subpoena from the January 6th committee. He didn't want to testify. I can't imagine why he wouldn't want to testify. so he's doing a year for blowing off the subpoena. But he is definitely involved with obstruction. There's no doubt about that. He played with this entire thing and encouraged people to come out there and do that, and obviously had knowledge that there was going to be a riot. So, you know, a deeper investigation and you know, maybe some cooperation from some of these other Oath Keepers and some of these other groups, we may very well learn that Roger Stone Steve Bannon were actually in contact with these various groups that are now being sentenced to going to be sentenced to jail time. So we will see what happens. But what a shame to see, you know, what a very, very disappointing. Maybe it's all deep state work from a CIA invaded in it here and there. What? Could you unpack that a little bit? What you got? You guys, go ahead and take your time to maybe it's what? What is its deep state work from CIA invalid in it here and there? Again, go ahead and take your time. Use proper English. Articulate your question so that I don't have to be a mind reader. So go ahead. And I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just saying, go ahead and type it out so I understand what you're saying. So what is its? Maybe it's a deep state work from the CIA. Explain the conspiracy theory that you're trying to put forth here, and I will, Chevy R.W. Hill, I'll definitely address it head on. Yeah, go ahead and take your time and unpack that a little bit so I can understand what you're trying to say here. I mean, there's a bunch of conspiracy. There was a guy on here, Josh, one of our last ones. He doesn't even think there was a riot. It's all a conspiracy, and I don't know what to do with people like that. I mean, you know, some people are really, really far gone, but there was a riot, and police officers were attacked, and our vice president and members of Congress were in danger and were put there via Trump. So, you know, I don't know about any of that kind of stuff. You know, there's a million conspiracy theories today, but go ahead and unpack that a little bit, and we'll go ahead and address that. But maybe it was Trump lying and Steve Bannon and John Eastman, maybe, and Roger Stone. Maybe it was them working with the Proud Boys. It's kind of what all the evidence points to, but we'll go ahead and we'll entertain that. So it seems that, unfortunately, Trump is untouchable. Well, I don't know about that. There's a special prosecutor on this now, independent prosecutor, who seems to be, you know, he's worked at the Hague of war crimes trial and seems to be a pretty stand-up guy. We will see. I hope not. I know people who got more jail time for a sack of weed than the time being handed to them patriots. Yeah, I don't know. 3 years is pretty good stretch, bud. For just an average citizen family guy, that's a pretty good, I wouldn't want to do it. You know, I'd probably end up doing a year and a half or something like that, but that's pretty bad. Was it planned? How much details about planning has been discovered? Well, quite a bit. That's what this trial was about. Were they planning this? Yes, they were planning this. And that's what I think it was like for the past 7 weeks, they've had a trial. Unraveling all the text messages and radio communications and all of the things that they had planned. They even had weapons on the other side of the river. So no, there's no doubt about it. They planned. That's why they were convicted of seditious conspiracy. A jury of their peers, pretty clear case. Yeah, they planned it. And, you know, the question is how much knowledge did Trump have of this? He definitely played a part. He definitely sent those. He called everybody there on January 6th. The original groups that were getting permits, I believe, was for Inauguration Day. And Trump is the one that had them change their permits to January 6th. He's the one that called people there to gather to stop the steal. Donald Trump is the one that sent them down to the Capitol and wanted to go to the Capitol himself. Tony Ornato, I guess, last week testified in front of the committee. It'd be interesting, and I'm sure we'll hear what he had to say as far as what went on with the limo. But there's no doubt that Trump wanted to participate in this. He was, you know, if you watched the hearings, you know that everybody, his daughter, his staffers were begging him to send out a tweet to disarm this entire thing. And we know for a fact that Trump did the opposite of that and further incited the crowd and acted recklessly. So, you know, further investigation definitely needs to be done of how much was known. you know, but it doesn't take rocket science to know that Steve Bannon knew something was going to go down, or I knew something was going to go down. Anybody that was watching Steve Bannon on the War Room on his podcast on YouTube knew something weird was going to happen on January 6th. I didn't know what, but obviously Steve Bannon knew what, because that's what he was saying. We got him on tape. That's, you know, so doesn't look good, you know. But will these guys be held to account? I don't know. I sure hope so. I sure hope that there is indictments coming down, but because it was planned, and whether Trump had knowledge of it is one thing. Did he partake in it in this? Yeah, he did. You know, he most definitely incited the crowd, encouraged the crowd. He knew the crowd had weapons, and he sent them down to the Capitol anyway. Not cool, man. And Trump lied. There's no doubt. Trump lied. He perpetrated a fraud in the stolen election myth. He said he was going down, right? So he. Okay, instead of saying he, say whoever it is. I don't know what it is. I don't know who he is. We're talking about multiple people. So go ahead and use the name. He said he was going down, right? Going down where? If you could spirit, go ahead and take your time to type these things out, because I'm not a moderator. Trump said he was going down to the Capitol with his protesters. Yes, sir. He did. From the podium. I'm going to go with you. After he was told you can't go. He still wanted to go. And all evidence points to he had some kind of fit in that limo. They wouldn't allow him to go. That's why he had a fit in the limo. There's no doubt that there was some sort of altercation in the limo. So he wanted to go down, and he was very pissed that his Secret Service guys wouldn't take him down. It wasn't his choice. He wanted to go down there. And he sent the crowd down there. He knew the crowd was armed, well aware of this, sent him down there. There's no doubt about that. He wanted to partake. He also wanted to go with this crowd. There's no doubt about that. He was well aware that what was going on, and never sent out a tweet to de-escalate things. Instead said Mike. Trump also knew that Mike Pence did not have. Listen, I mean, we know that Trump was lying. He was lying to the crowd, lying to his constituency. He was well aware that Mike Pence had no authority to do what he was asking him to do. So to put out a tweet as they're in the Capitol, as the vice president is possibly having to flee for his life, Trump says, Mike Pence failed us. He was too weak. Didn't do what he was, you know, further aggravating the crowd. Knowing full well that Mike Pence does not have any authority to do that. My God. If there's not a crime there, I don't know, man. So, no, Trump didn't go, but it doesn't really matter. Kind of crazy. If Trump went with them, could have aggravated the whole crowd. Oh, even more. Absolutely. Which I think was Trump's intention. He was very pleased to see what was going down. Like I said, I was born at night, but I wasn't born last night. Okay. So it's very clear to me, or anybody with any inkling of intellectual honesty, obviously Steve Bannon knew something like a riot was going to happen at the Capitol. There's no doubt about that, right? What are the chances? Because when we talk about Roger Stone and we talk about Steve Bannon, we'll get to you in a minute, John. Yeah, they were. We're talking not about some staffer or anything like that. This is Trump's closest allies in inner circle when we're talking about John Eastman, Roger Stone, and Steve Bannon. These ain't just some staffer. This is the core of his inner circle. So if Steve Bannon has knowledge that this is going to go down, do you think Trump didn't have knowledge of this? I mean, really? Really, people, you know what I'm saying? What does this say here? The crowd was not armed. How many weapons were confiscated? Okay, Johnny, we'll follow your really silly logic here. Let me ask you this, Johnny. Did you watch any of the January 6th hearings? I'm going to answer your question, but answer that one. Did you watch any of the January 6th hearings? Because, yes, the crowd was armed. Again, we can't, the sun is hot, it's not ice, and there were many people in the crowd that were armed with various armaments. And if you watch the January 6th hearing, you can hear the police communication about this. You can see the testimony where Trump is telling them he doesn't care if they're armed. Take down the metal detectors and just let them, they're not here to hurt me. So you're just wrong on all describe the weapons. There were people who had flagpoles that were interchangeable as weapons. There was people that had, as you can see in the videos there, they had bear spray and they had pepper spray. There were some people that had arms, that had guns, and they, as you can know in the hearings. So there you go. No, I'm not talking about concealed carry. Johnny, I'm not going to play games with you here. There were people armed in the crowd, and the sun is hot. Those are both statements of fact. Trump was aware that there were people that were armed in the crowds. Again, and the sun is hot. It's not a ball of ice. All of these things are statements of facts. And there's no doubt about this. The sun is hot. There were people in the crowd that were armed. Trump was aware that they were armed, and he sent them down to the Capitol. Again, these are facts. These are not opinions. now that we know the facts, we can have our opinions about those facts. But we can't have our own facts. We can't live in a magical land of make-believe. And I like your content and stuff, but you're full of it on this. No, Johnny, I'm not. The sun is hot. And if you watch the January 6th hearings, then you are well aware that there was people armed. You can see them spraying the police with bear spray and pepper sprays. You can see them striking them with steel flagpoles that were, and you can hear them talking. There's actually communications of people talking to use your flagpoles. Make sure they're made out of a material that you can use as weapons. I don't know what rock you live under, John, but this is all public knowledge, pretty irrefutable. And like I said, we'll get three things from people like John. You always get three things. Mischaracterization, right? Derailments into other topics. And then character assassination. These are the three things that these people employ. How do you think they communicate on the upper levels? They know to keep their backs clean. A lot of winking and elbow bumping. Yeah, you know, that's what's really wild, that Steve Bannon was so loose-lipped on his show. If I lose power, we're going to go until my phone goes dead. So sorry, man. You're fat Johnny B. You're just Johnny B. Riding. You be riding in the wrong direction, Johnny B, because everything I just said is not a matter of opinion. It's a statement of fact. And you asked questions, and you said describe the weapons, so I described the weapons. You can go watch people using them, right? The Proud Boys had – so you're not supposed to have any sort of firearms. They're illegal, concealed carry or otherwise, in D.C. And that's why they had weapons stashed on the other side of the river, if you pay attention to any of this kind of stuff. So, yeah. And people had guns, as you can hear the police trying to find these people that were spotted with the guns. So you're just wrong on that. Sorry for the off topic, but are you streaming schedule? If not, no, I don't have any schedules, man. I just do it when things come up and I feel like it and I have time. Super chat is open if you wish to contribute. So sorry, Johnny, the sun is hot and there were people and Trump knew, right? If you watch the hearings, you know that he was wanting them to take, because Trump's very into crowd size, and so many of the people were not coming into the inner circle there, right? Because they don't want to go through the metal detectors, because they got weapons, right? So Trump wanted them in closer, and he said, I don't care. And his, and security and Secret Service is saying these people got arms. Do you understand that? And Trump said, I don't care if they're armed. Take those metal detectors down. They're not here to hurt me. So I don't know where you live, man. A Capitol full of flag weapons and bear spray, and how much was actually used against the Capitol? A whole shitload. 140-some Capitol police went to the hospital. Yeah. I don't know where you be riding, Johnny, but you be riding in the wrong direction. So, oh, I see. This is called moving the goalpost. This is another thing people do. So Johnny said they didn't have weapons, and then I described the weapons that they have. So now he moves the goalpost. No, man, bear spray is a weapon, and steel flagpoles. And then he says, well, how much was used against the dude? Do you live under a rock? 140 some cops went to the hospital. What? Are you kidding me? $200 or 20? 20. Thank you. Either way, thank you very much. Well, it's not that I classify a flagpole as a weapon, Johnny. See, again, mischaracterization. First thing these people do. They intentionally used him as a guy. Yeah, it's a flagpole, right? But it's not a piece of balsa wood. And the reason it's not a piece of balsa wood and it's a piece of steel is so they could use it as a flagpole and to beat the fuck out of the cops with as a weapon. It's not me classifying it. It's them. They're talking to each other. Again, Johnny, you're not going to win this game because, Johnny, you'd be riding in the wrong direction. It's not me classifying a flagpole as a weapon. They were instructed to have certain kinds of flagpoles that could be used as a weapon. It ain't me classifying it. And then as you go and you watch the video, Johnny, would you be riding over to the video? And you can see that they're beating the fuck out of the cops with steel flagpoles. Thanks for playing. Come back often. And thank you, by the spirits. Really appreciate that, man. People work hard for their money, and it's hard times. It means a great deal to me, that super chat. So, but like I said, these people, they mischaracterize everything all the time. Derailments into, you know, what about Hillary's email? And then character assassination should be coming here pretty soon, where I'm an idiot or whatever the case may be. Johnny B. Ryden. I'm here for you, man. I'm your Huckleberry. We can play this game all day. Good morning, Chuck. Hey, Steve, how you doing? Very disappointed about how Trump turned out. Me too, Steve. He was kind of our last little speed bump in our collapse here. Like, you had high expectations about him. What do you think is wrong with Trump? I thought he was a smart, level-headed businessman. Well, I've always known that Trump's kind of like P.T. Barnum for years. Even I've always said I support the Trump agenda. I've always kind of quantified that with that. America first, borders, language, culture. I've always understood the guy is, you know, he's a showman and he's a business. He's a salesman. I was disappointed, you know, years ago when he was on the birther thing. All right. I never thought he would do a coup attempt. That was a little bit above and beyond what I would have imagined him partaking in. But that's what power does to people. And I'm very disappointed, too, Steve. But it is what it is. And if we're going to be real patriots, then we have to support our republic. And not Trump. And it is very disappointing. Hillary's email were under subpoena. Yep, they were. But we're not talking about Hillary's emails. If he did get reelected, what do you think he might do while in office? He's not going to get reelected. I don't think Trump's really going to run, man. I've said that the whole time. Trump is going to say he's running, have rallies, suck all the oxygen and the attention out of the room, and then at the last minute he's going to bail. If not, if he does and there's large amount of Republicans vying for this. He might possibly get the nomination because he's got about 25% of the cult followers. He might get the nomination, but this isn't like last time Trump doesn't have a chance. This is very different. He would not win an election. Isn't this country founded on not going with the rulers you don't agree with? No, this country is founded as a republic by the rule of law. Our country is founded on the rule of law, where nobody is above the law. This is how we're equal. We're not equal in intelligence, beauty, skills. We're not equal there. We don't end up in equal places in life. None of that. Where we're equal is under the law. That's what equality. Every human being is equal under the law in a functioning republic. And that's what we're founded on. We're not founded on riots, storming the Capitol based on lies. You got to remember, the election was not stolen. Here's two statements of fact. The sun is hot and the election was not stolen through fraud. We know this. We also know that Mike Pence never had any authority to do what Trump was wanting him to do. And we know that Trump knew that. And so Trump was knowingly lying and deceiving people to maintain power. And Johnny is one of the 25% of the GOP that is a cult follower. What you're the Oath Keepers thinking that they could take on the U.S. government? There wasn't enough of them to take them on. Well, you don't need a whole lot of people to stop that transfer of power, Steve. It could have went the other way, dude. You don't need big armies. Study history on how these things happen, man. You don't always need big armies. You sure don't. You know, they could have succeeded in not certifying the electors. Who knows what would have happened? Luckily, our republic held. You know, it held, but it could have went the other way. Damn, I wish my camera was going to go longer here, but we're gonna run out here at some point. But yeah, so Oath Keepers are going to go to jail here. Bannon's going to go to jail, and hopefully Trump is indicted and his inner circle for what they did and the permanent damage they've done and the further erosion of our social trust in our institutions. And, you know, you'll always have people like, what's his name? Johnny B. Ryden. Johnny B. Ryden. You're always going to have that kind of mythological worldview. And that's the Trump loyalists. But these people have placed their loyalty in the, a lot of these people are religious. And they think in messianic terms that some messiah is going to come and save the day. And they transpose that onto Trump. How was your trap line yesterday? Oh, a fox set it off without the getting the trap. What are your thoughts on Capitol Police letting people actually walk through the gates? Yeah, Johnny, if you would actually study that a little bit, they were afraid of the mob, and there were a couple of these security people that gave way, but. What are your thoughts about smashing in the windows? What are your thoughts about beating the fuck out of 140 cops, smashing the window? Johnny B. Ryden, what are your thoughts on that? Oh my God. You know, with those non-weapon flagpoles they were beating the fuck out of the cops with. Breaking windows was a travesty to humanity. The whole entire episode was a travesty. It absolutely was, man. It sure was. For the first time in American history, we had a coup attempt and an opposition to the peaceful transfer of power, which disqualifies Trump just immediately. And also pay note to who his followers are, because these are very dangerous people. These are not patriots. These are cult followers, a cult like mindset. And seriously, this is like a cult that sticks by Trump. Nothing short of a cult. Yep, it was, Johnny. Johnny B. Ryden, you're right about that. The assault on the Capitol was absolutely horrific. What a horrific crime. People gullible, buying the lies of Trump. What were your feelings that day on January 6th? Oh, I was appalled. I was absolutely appalled. Now I knew what Steve Bannon was talking about. Oh, this is what you got planned? Wonderful. How just, gee, really great, guys. Hey, thanks. No, I was appalled, man. I was horrified. What a great disappointment just to see that. What were your thoughts on January 6th, on that day? I mean, I knew something was going to happen because Steve Bannon was telegraphing, that something incredible was going to happen. You know, if you wanted to be part of a revolution, come on down. Sounds like Steve Bannon had knowledge that was that a turning point for you? No, I was really disappointed. I already knew the election wasn't stolen, and I knew that Pence didn't have the authority to do so. I already knew that Trump was lying about the stolen election, and that Pence had some sort of authority to throw out the electors. So I was kind of done right there. And then when that went down, that was the end of that. Now, the turning point was there was no there with the claims of a stolen election through fraud. That was a lie. And he knows it's a lie. He just doesn't care. It benefits his power. So January 6th was worse than 9/11. Well, they're very different things. They're kind of comparing apples and oranges there. Johnny B. Ryden. I never said that. They're both very different. So I don't know what your point is with that. They're very different instances. But the January 6th was very bad. It's worse than Hunter Biden's laptop. It's worse than Hillary's emails. And those are bad. I ain't condoning none of that. But to have a coup attempt and try to stop the peaceful transfer of power has never happened before in this country. This is new ground. To lie like that, that the election was stolen, that Pence could do something about it, was just, it's unforgivable. If you love the Republic, but you might love Trump more than the Republic. I don't know. But January 6th was bad. It'll go down as bad, bad, bad. And I would imagine that Trump will be indicted, as will Bannon, Eastman, and Roger Stone. All of these guys played a part. What was worse, January 6th or getting punked? Probably January 6th. So now Johnny B is going to go into character assassination. I could play these guys like a fiddle, can't I? Now that Trump has failed us, I see no hope for the future of the Republic. No, it was over anyway. I've always said that Trump was a speed bump. Our Republic's, it's pretty well, like I said, even when I was, the first election, I was hoping we had an 8-year speed bump and not a 4-year speed bump. But yeah, you're right there. What do you think of West Trump ticket? Who? Who's West? Kanye West? Oh my God. Like I said, man, I've said for a long time that I don't think Trump's really going to run. He's not going to risk losing a second time. Wasn't the Oath Keepers the group that surrounded you in Ferguson? Yes, I said that when I started the podcast out here today, that I was attacked and threatened by the hateful racist group Black Lives Matter in Ferguson, Missouri, and the Oath Keepers came to my aid. Oath Keepers, I marched with the Oath Keepers at the RNC convention. But those things don't connect there. This is basically what I'd expect from a man that eats out of a dumpster. Johnny B. Ryden. Keep it up, Johnny, because it's great. You are literally proving my point. You don't have any arguments. So you go to mischaracterization. That's the first thing that you did. You brought up Hillary's email, derailments, and now character assassination. That's all you guys do. Hey, Johnny, you're not bothering me at all, dude. Any insults, anything that you have to say, dude, really just kind of rolls off me like rain, you know? Arrive late to the live stream. Yeah, no problem. But yeah, I said that. Yep. So yeah, we'll see what happens. More of these guys are like I said, the boots are going to jail, and hopefully at some point the suits start going. Is that where you took the photo of a woman that was used by the ABC News to push a false narrative about what happened there? No. YouTube pulled the video because of the N-word. It's a long story, but I had interactions with the Oath Keepers in the past. Johnny B. Ryden needs to ride his Vespa out of here. No, he's welcome to stay. It really doesn't bother me at all, man. It doesn't bother me. In fact, it shows you exactly what I talk about. I know these people so well, don't I? Every live stream I do, we got a Johnny B. Ryden of one flavor or another. And they all do the same exact things. And that just means I'm winning. It makes me feel good that Johnny does that, that he attacks my character. It's just, I'm winning. He doesn't have anything because I'm speaking the truth. I am speaking the truth. I am trying to be as reasonable and as factual as possible. And Johnny obviously is a cult member, which again isn't ad hominem attack. I'm serious about that. You sure do know these knuckleheads. Oh, sure, dude. One of the things about being a philosopher is that you examine yourself incredibly in detail and others. The more you know about your own human psychology and your own human tendencies, the more that you can know others. And I've been dealing with these people for my entire life, you know. You took a photo of a distraught lady. Oh, right. Right. You're right, Steve. There was a lady, a crazy lady there. I have that photo. I got a print of it right over there on the table. Yeah, you're correct. And she had nothing to do with Ferguson, but some news outlets used that photo of this lady about her mom being abducted by aliens or something like that. But that's the crooked media that we have today. That's why I try not to miss your videos. Yeah, it's not easy to, you know, human beings are, you know, interesting creatures, but, you know, human psychology, and it doesn't matter what it is. When people don't have arguments, they employ these things. It's what they do. Mischaracterization. They mischaracterize either, you know, they take facts out of context. It's a lack of context of anything, right? That's the first thing they do. And then derailments, usually the second thing they do. They bring up, yeah, but what about so-and-so? And then when that fails, then they, you're a, blah, 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 and they make it about you. It's what they do. And I, like I said, I enjoy it. Because it shows you guys that I actually know what I'm talking about. Was Ferguson also the place another photographer told you that the real story was about black and white racism? No, it was me. It was the second or third time I came back. I was talking to Brian Soko, the street photographer that lives in Florida now. And I told him, a lot of you guys might, there were some people going to like recommend I was nominated for Magnum Photography and all this kind of stuff. And I told Brian, hey, man, the real story about Ferguson is black on white racism. And Brian said to me, dude, if you say that, it's a career ender. And I said it anyways, because that's the truth. Makes me laugh. Yeah, these guys, Johnny B. Ryden. I know, it's fun, ain't it? That's all they got, though, you know. But and that's a shame. You know, it's a shame that there's so many people like that that are incapable of having intelligent dialogue. But that's where we're at today. So we'll keep on paying attention to what's going on here. Thank you for your support there. Really appreciate that. You can head over to ChuckJines.com. And sign up for my email subscription when I post things over there, poetry and photographs. I have a book coming out pretty soon here. As we're in the editing process, I got a good friend down in Florida that is working on the cover for me. I just read that Trump skipped the inauguration because he did not want to be disinvited. Who knows? All right, you guys, you all have a great day. Thank you very much. Johnny B. Ryden, thank you so much for actually being my muse here today. Really appreciate it. Y'all have a great day.